Minister for Expenditure and Public Reform, Brendan Howlan, is on the phone. Good morning, Minister.
Morning, Gavin.
We'll talk about the Labour Party's national conference, which takes place in Killarney this weekend shortly, but you've been listening to John McGuinness there. How can you make sure that agencies like the CRC, voluntary hospitals, or anyone else who's getting public money isn't paying their top staff more than is allowed?
With great difficulty is the honest answer. I'm a former health minister, and I know that the way our health services have developed over time is that we do franchise work to private companies in terms of voluntary companies that are incorporated into company law. They have their own governance structure, their own accounting bodies, their own accounting officers. To actually have transparency across everybody who gets public money has been one of my ambitions for the last 2.5 years. But we're unraveling decades of practice where agencies, providers of services for areas like mental handicap or physical handicap or even voluntary hospitals had their own independent governance structures and jealously guard them in terms of some of the hospitals. So you've just heard from John McGuinness that even the efforts of the HSE to get data from some of these agencies wasn't responded to until the internal audit unit of the HSE was tasked with the job, drilled down, and okay. Now we have a report that I think lays out for the first time how extensive these top-up payments are. But they're not all the same. They're coming from different sources. Some okay. are actually contractual arrangements. Some are downright just top-ups.
But if any agency or a voluntary hospital or otherwise, anyone who's getting public money is found to have broken the rules, what are you going to do? How are you going to punish them for that?
Well, we have to find out who's breaking the rules.
And when you do, how will they be punished?
Well, obviously there's a variety of ways. This is primarily a matter for the HSE. They have the contractual arrangements with each of these agencies and bodies. What is the terms of each contractual arrangement? Does it allow, for example, for the individual to have alternative sources of income? In some contractual arrangements, I understand that is the case. So it's not one common phenomenon. And that's what makes this both complicated and difficult. But as far as I'm concerned, the first key thing to be achieved is transparency. Everybody on the public purse should be transparent. There should be a clear knowledge of what people are paid. The rate for the job should be determined, and nobody should get paid more than the rate for the job. It's a job of work now to do that, but that's the task that this government has set out as we set the ceilings for everybody.
Could your government not set an example, for example, by perhaps not paying, in your own case, advisors more than is allowed under government guidelines yourselves?
Well, the government guidelines, as you know, is fixed. The pay rate as for government advisors as the principal officer scale, except where people were recruited from the private sector or elsewhere in the public sector where their pay rate was already superior to that and they'd have to produce documentation to prove that. In those instances, to get the quality people, we obviously couldn't ask people to come and work for less than the job that they had on a full-time basis in a demanding job in a government ministry with no contract other than the tenure of the minister they worked for.
Your party is meeting in Killarney this weekend. Is Eamon Gilmore going to promise a reward to voters for enduring so much austerity under your government in the shape of tax relief or cuts?
Well, you know, austerity was not a policy of choice. Austerity was what was left to this government when we walked in and inherited a broken economy. And we made a number of commitments to the Irish people that we would renegotiate the bad deal done by the previous administration.
And we've heard that from you a number of times. I'm more focused on what could be promised this weekend, Minister.
Let me answer your question, Gavin. That we would close Anglo-Irish Bank, that we would end the bank guarantee, and that we would exit the bailout. Now, we have done that in the first half of our term of office. The next focus will be to ensure that people who have endured all the economic hardship that the collapse of our economy that was orchestrated in the last administration brought upon them now benefit from recovery. Recovery is happening. I think that's palpable with the employment numbers we've seen this week. But for a lot of people, they haven't seen it in their pockets yet. So yes, to answer your question directly, hardworking people, who have borne the brunt of the economic constraints of the last few years need to be given a break, and we're going to work might and main to do that.
In what form?
Well, that will have to be laid out over coming months and years. There will be no big bang. We still are in an excessive deficit procedure. We still have an unconscionably high rate of unemployment. So the number one focus of the government from this minute to the end of our term is to get people back into work.
Okay.
And that's why we have new stimulus strategies, new employment strategies, and the proof of that is happening.
Instead of, Minister, for example, as is being reported, some form of tax relief or tax cuts, what about relief for those who suffered and who you promised to protect? Why not row back, for example, on cuts to carers, the disabled, the sick, the Christmas bonus for welfare recipients?
Well, as you know, all core social welfare payments have been protected. We broke the agreement that was brokered by Fianna Fáil to do that because they wanted to take an additional one.
Yeah, but lots of social welfare payments weren't.
Well, all core social welfare payments were, and we have robust social welfare payments there. We would have loved to pay more, but it's 40% of everything we spend is on social welfare. And if you add education and health to that, it's an excess of 80%. They're the social provision that we have guarded well in the most difficult of times.
Okay.
And if you look at other countries in programs, our social provision in health, in education, and particularly in social welfare is the best among them.
Finally, Minister, on the day after we officially leave the bailout, it looks like we're facing ESB strikes. Is it still your government's policy to express bewilderment, stand back, and just to let them sort it out themselves?
Well, as you know, there's dialogue ongoing between the ESB and the workers, and that is a process that we are hopeful will bear fruit, because the prospect of blackouts before Christmas, just as the SME sector, the retail sector in particular, begins to recover, we see the beginnings of recovery in our economy. The prospect of blackout in that context is unthinkable, and I don't think the public will accept it. So that's why I hope that the dialogue that's happening now, and the government strongly hopes, will bear fruit. Because the issues, you know, of pension provision is one that is broad spread across all companies, and I think that it's being addressed by the ESB, and I think that the workers and the management of the ESB in current talks hopefully will come to an agreement on the current impasse, and that we won't have the unthinkable prospect of power cuts as our economy
recovers.
So you are
going to continue to stand back then, yes?
Well, if you'd prefer to put a size 9 into the middle of the talks when the talks are ongoing, that's not the way the industrial relations machinery of the country works. So we'll see how the direct talks between those primarily concerned,
okay,
the representative of workers and the company concerned, get on. And hopefully that will come to a conclusion that will require no further intervention.
Minister,
but obviously, if it doesn't, we have to consider what action is required at that stage.
Minister Brendan Howland, thank you for speaking to us this morning.